We desire your prayers this morning. We need the strength of the Lord, the help of the Lord. And I emphasized that word, that I needed the strength of the Lord, because that's our thought this morning, is strength. We don't really think about too much how we depend upon our strength until we don't have it. Maybe we take the flu and sick for a few days, and you'll call and say, how are you? And, oh, I am so weak. I just don't have any strength. So when we don't have strength, we miss it. It doesn't take very long for the strength to leave our body when we're sick. So this word strength, and I want to actually give the physical definitions that we may apply it spiritually. And I know we all know possibly the words that to identify strength. It's to be strong. When you get up in the morning, do you think about that it took strength for you to get out of bed? Well, the age that I am now and seeing where we're headed, I nearly always, when I put my feet on the floor, will say, thank you, Lord, that I can get out of bed. It takes strength, physical strength, to get out of bed in the morning. It takes physical strength to walk. To be able to move about, if I didn't have strength, if I were bedfast, and I know there's some here that understands what it means to be bedfast because you work in the field. That's your field. We've worked and taken Sister Irma's place a few times, and she works with someone that has no strength at all. You have to help her move, and every movement that she does make, it takes someone else moving her. So with this physical strength comes also, we have power. We have power to move our bodies because we have strength. The next definition, I really like it because I think it does apply so much spiritually. It's the capacity to sustain a strong force without yielding or breaking. That's strength. We might think about a man that, and sometimes women too, though it's very, isn't very beautiful. But we might have some that go into strength training to build muscle. And maybe they build their muscles in such a way that they can lift more weight than anybody else. Well, that is this strong force. The weight of it is the strong force. And they're not yielding to the weight. They are using the strength of their body to lift. Strength is also not only physical, but it's mental. To have a mental power or a mental force or ability. And then a simple definition would simply mean power or might. So those are the physical definitions for this word that we would like to impress upon your mind today. I'm thinking of how that the human body constantly has physical needs. Not only do we need strength physically, but we do need not only mental, I've mentioned the mental strength, we need emotional strength. And then, of course, we need spiritual strength. Thinking of a newborn baby, as a general rule, only eats and sleeps. Did you know that sleep is conducive to his strength? But if he refuses to eat, his strength is gone. But it takes eating and it takes sleeping for a newborn baby to gain strength and to grow. And so it is with every stage and development of an individual. We have to eat for physical strength, and we have to exercise for strength of the muscles or the bones. For children, that's simply playing. And then we have to rest and we have to sleep. God made our bodies in such a way that without sleep, you will lose strength physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. When I think of that in a physical way, I think of also the spiritual, which the scripture says there is a rest to the people of God. So the Lord, in his plan for humanity, not only does he supply what we need to have strength in our physical, he's also saying, I have a rest for you spiritually that will help you to be able to be strong spiritually. So all of these are very important. Food. What does food do? It will renew the strength. You can go so long without food and you begin to feel weak. How do you apply that spiritually? The word of the Lord is food to us spiritually. And if we fail to eat of his body or eat his word, we'll grow weaker spiritually. There's just a real close connection, see, between the physical and the spiritual. You can just intertwine them quite closely, even with the scriptures. So we need to be renewed. Scripture tells us about renewing day by day, every day, or what will happen? We'll die. And it's the same spiritually. We have to be renewed. We need to be revisited. We need to be revived. Oftentimes we might cry out in our prayers and say, Lord, renew me and revisit me. I may die. So I'd like to talk to us a little bit about the source of our strength, of all of our strength. For in reality, the Lord is the source of our physical strength. As we partake of food, what do? We pray over it. We give thanks for the food. Then what do we say? We say, give us strength from this food. Cause this food to give us strength. We use terms like that, which when we receive the strength, do we also say, Lord, thank you for the strength? At the end of the day, do you say, Lord, thank you that you gave me strength to do all I had to do today? And it was the result of you thanking him for the food and then asking for that strength, and then he gave it. And then the end of the day, when it's time to rest and be renewed and revived physically, we look back over the day and we thank him for the strength that he daily gives. So all of our strength comes from this one source. I'd like to read a scripture over in Deuteronomy 33 and 25. Just a little beginning thought. I'm sorry, I've skipped a verse, and this is an important verse. We'll go to that next, but it's Psalms 18 and 1. And it's a familiar scripture, but I like for us to be reminded in this particular passage. David is saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my what? Strength. The Lord is, and then he begins to account for everything that his God is to him. And it is this to us. I will love thee. You know, we can take these same words, and we can go before the Lord in our prayers, and we can say them too. I will love thee, O Lord, comma, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And now you've got quite a list of things that God is to us. He proved himself to David in all of these ways. David knew his strength came from the Lord. He knew he had no one else to put his trust in, that God the Father, the Lord, was his rock and his fortress and his deliverer and my strength. He's my strength. Now going to Deuteronomy 33 and 25, I have used this scripture also in prayer. This little passage is speaking of the blessing that was pronounced on the children of Israel by the Lord. And the last part of that verse says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I have found that to be true. When you go out in the morning, when you get up in the morning, you have no idea what that day is going to hold. It could be a day that will expend much energy, maybe burn up more calories, that's energy, than you expected to burn. And maybe you only had a protein drink for breakfast. And yet, as that day was, there was strength to meet it, because it came from the source of your strength. I have experienced that. I have seen the Lord pour in strength when I thought I couldn't go another step. Do you see why he is the source of all of our strength? I'd like for us, as we leave here today, as we go out next week and we begin to meet all of the things that whatever you're thinking that you may meet next week, I would like for you to stop and think in the midst of it how God is giving you strength. Physical. He's mindful of us. He wants us to prosper in our souls. But he also says, I want you to prosper in your health and be in strength. See, he wants that. So as your day is, as my day is, I have found him to meet out the strength that I needed. This last week was a very load, trying to get as much done on Sarah's apartment as possible. And there reached a point one day I thought, my feet aren't going to take another step. And I was crying out to the Lord, and I want to tell you, it was as though I became a new person. That's what the Lord wants to cry out to Him. Tell Him what you need. He'll give you the strength. I've experienced it. Okay, we have several scriptures we want to give to you this morning. We want to give Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is familiar. This is one of my favorite passages. Have you not heard? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Have you all heard that? Do you need to be reminded today of the source of your strength is this God, the creator of the ends of the earth? That he faints not and he's never weary. We sometimes hear people say or describe the faithfulness of God as he is not on vacation and he is not asleep. And you don't have to stand in line. Do you have to stand in line and wait for him to hear your prayers? No. This is our God. So we've all heard this. So it incites in us faith and believing that we are serving the source of all of our strength. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. This word power is the same as strength. So we could say, he giveth strength to the faint. Have you ever nearly fainted? Have you ever experienced almost fainting physically? When I was young, very young, a young child, I had high blood pressure. And I remember a day specifically, our family was on an outing and it was hot. And I literally fainted. I suppose it's the only time in my life that I fainted. But you know, the Lord, when you become faint, he wants to give strength. But he wants to give you strength spiritually, because you may come to a place of nearly fainting spiritually. Have you ever been there? I'm going to say I think every one of us have experienced times that we nearly faint spiritually. But this is our God. He gives strength then to the faint, and to them that have no might, what does he do? He increaseth strength. Verse 31, and then they that wait upon the Lord shall renew what their strength. And the scriptures goes on and says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to say you could faint physically and you would probably be revived. Maybe you were running and you got faint. But in the spiritual realm, this verse applies. Because you and I will have to wait on the Lord. We don't give up. We don't faint when we get weary. How many times have you used this scripture to encourage yourself? They shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And in this particular thought pattern of waiting on the Lord, which is all part of regaining our strength spiritually, there is a scripture also in the 31st chapter of Psalms that goes along with this particular scripture. It's verse 22 and 24. And it says here, I said in my haste, I am cut off. Have you ever felt that way? Have you said in your haste, the Lord doesn't hear me, I must be cut off? Don't you know that Job felt that way? Don't you know that Job even said it? That he couldn't find the Lord on either side or behind or before? But he had a resolve and he said, but you know the way that I take. That's where you and I, we need that. We need to not give up just because we can't hear the voice of the Lord or we can't feel his presence. So he said here, I said in my haste, I am cut off. And it said, nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Lord, I need help. I need strength. I need to be renewed. I need you to revisit me. I'm telling you, I have used those terms in prayer many times. And then the last verse, 24. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. We need to keep our hope bright and fresh, don't we? Then there's another one in the 27th chapter of Psalms. And I'm going to look at verses 11 and 13 and 14. And it's also familiar to us. But verse 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me. Lead me in a plain path. You know, the Lord wants to lead us in a highway. He says there is a highway. And he says that we will not err thereon, though we be fools, so to speak. He will lead us. He will open up the way. And then the writer here says, David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. I have written out here to the side of this particular scripture, Lauren's name. After Jan was taken on Saturday night, on Monday night, I believe it was, he went to get saved. But you have to understand, he was in the deepest sorrow and grief of his whole life. And it was very hard for him to grasp hold of faith to be saved. And I think that night they must have prayed till 2 or 3 in the morning. And he went home. He didn't have it. I think he went back the next night. And it may have been the same length of time. I'm not sure. This was the scripture that the Lord impressed upon his mind. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And it repeats it. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there are times that we are going to have to wait for the strength to come. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is about Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. And I have used this for myself many, many times. Paul is coming before the Lord and he has a thorn in the flesh, he says. He even tells us in verse 7 why he has this thorn. He said, because lest he be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Paul was a man that God used greatly From the very moment that the Lord Jesus met him in the way, and he was struck blind, from that very moment until his death, Paul was very much used of the Lord, and he had much revelations that all of the other disciples did not have. And so he recognized that the Lord was putting this thing in his life to keep him humble, that he would not think himself something when he was nothing. And so he said he went to the Lord three times to ask that it might be taken away. And the answer is the answer that you and I must live with also. The answer from the Lord was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then what does it say about strength? It says, "The Lord's strength is made perfect in your weakness." You know, if we were so strong spiritually in ourselves, people that trust in themselves and trust in their own righteousness are not depending on this sufficient grace. This strength of the Lord cannot be made perfect when one trusts in their own righteousness. But his answer to Paul was, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." So do you know your weakness? Has God made his strength perfect in your weakness? I'm almost debating whether to say this. But as a minister and as a woman is a weaker vessel. I've stood on this scripture to be able to fulfill the call of the Lord. I've told the Lord numerous times, "Lord, let your strength be made perfect in the fact that I am a weaker vessel." Paul's answer to that was, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory." Do you ever glory in your infirmities? I'm going to say it took me many years to be able to be resigned to the fact that I was a woman minister. But this word glory, it's not that you are lifted up. It's a word that simply means that you're glad that the Lord is able to use you in your infirmity. And then it says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That power is his strength. Therefore, he said, "I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's when I have my strength. It's the strength of the Lord. It's not my strength. It's the strength of the Lord. Another one that Paul spoke of was in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 8. And I felt impressed to use this particular passage that none of us here today would leave and feel that maybe we have missed the mark if we have a hard trial, or if we feel distress of life. But Paul, in the 8th verse here, he said he didn't want the brethren to be ignorant of his trouble. That's what it's saying here. He said this was his trouble, that I, or we, speaking of himself, were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. Our weaknesses can be our death. We have to recognize and depend and fully depend on the strength of the Lord. Recognize your weakness. Go to the Lord with your weakness. But I want you to recognize what Paul was saying here. He was pressed out of measure above strength. He was in despair even of life. There may be times that you and I may feel that same emotion and may be in despair of life. Let's run to the source of our strength. He's still able to give us that strength, even when it was above his own strength. I hope we will all be encouraged today that he can deliver us from so great of a death. Over in Job, the 23rd chapter, and I would like to say how the Lord gave this verse to me. You know, the Lord gives messages that I have tasted of before I give them sometimes. And this morning, I was in great need of the strength of the Lord. And so Lauren and I were there in the bedroom, and I said, "Honey, I want you to go get some oil on your finger." He usually just goes and gets it out of the bottle and carries it on his finger. I said, "I need you to anoint me." In his prayer, he used this verse, and it just inspired me. And so I'm using it this morning, too. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6, but it is verse 6 that he used in prayer this morning. Job was speaking here, and he said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." I don't believe this is Job going to argue with the Lord. This is simply he's giving his case to the Lord. "I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that what he would say unto me." And then verse 6. "Will he plead against me with his great power?" Why would he feel that way? Why would you feel that way? Why would I feel that way? I think the enemy sometimes tries to make us, well, he is an accuser of the brethren, the scripture says. And he will make us feel accused that we should be stronger than what we are. You ever felt that way? You shouldn't be. This trial shouldn't be that hard. The enemy tries to wear us down, see? And so Job here had this, "Would the Lord plead against me with his great power?" And the answer is no, but he would put strength in me. Oh, that was so inspired to me when Lauren used that scripture in prayer this morning, and the Lord touched me. Thank the Lord. Oh, it's real. This is real. The last verse that we have is Isaiah 30, verse 15. And I know that all of you have heard how the Lord gave this verse to us many years ago. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength." I'm going to retell it today. At the time that of my life that this happened, I was in a great opposing battle, and I could not get the victory. Lorne was working nights, and so that particular night, I said to myself, I am all evening, I'm going to read and I'm going to pray until I get the victory. So all evening till midnight, I was either reading my Bible or I was down praying. Came midnight and I didn't have anything, didn't have the victory, so to speak. And so I gave up. And just as I laid my head on the pillow, the Lord spoke to me and he said, get up and I'll give you a scripture. And I even spoke back to the Lord and I said, well, Lord, I've read all evening and I've prayed, but I'll get up. And opened my Bible to this verse, and it just stood out to me. The part here that said, in quietness and confidence, it shall be your strength. Now, I didn't know what that meant, and I knew the Lord had given me something. I didn't feel like I had the victory like I wanted, and I went to bed. The next morning, I'm still in the battle. Lauren comes in. He's sleeping days, and we would usually take a walk when he'd get up in the afternoon, and in reality, I was sort of feeling sorry for myself in the battle. So I was down in the where we always walked. I went walking by myself. He got up, saw me, and he came down, and we were talking. I never told him of what happened. And he said, you know, the strangest thing happened on the job last night. He was working military mail. And he said, a package came through and it had a scripture on it. And it said, in quietness and confidence, it shall be your strength. Maybe the Lord had to wait till midnight for us both to get it at the same time. But as soon as he said that verse, and I knew the Lord had given it to me the night before about midnight, it got my attention. Then I began to say, Lord, what do you mean by this? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're talking about it too much. And I was only speaking to Lorne Vance and one other confidant. I was speaking to two people about this trial. And the Lord said, you're talking about it too much. Did you know the Lord wants us to sometimes be quiet? I'm going to give you a definition of quietness. To be still, to be calm. Of course, it also means characteristic of silence. I probably should have said that first. Quietness is when we get quiet before the Lord. Did you know the Lord wants to fight your battle for you? He did it many times for the children of Israel. He fought the battle for them. They didn't even have to lift up a weapon. He did it with what we would call unconventional weapons. And he fought the battles for the children of Israel, and he wants to do that for you and me. But when we go and we carry our battles constantly, the Lord can't hardly fight our battles for us. He wants us to get still and calm before him. And then it says one definition. This is a definition. I did not know this. It said quietness was being free from undue emotion. I can be pretty emotional. Sometimes I brought it on myself. And this word confidence, it is so important that we have confidence. We could leave out the quietness and just use the word confidence. In confidence, it shall be your strength. We could leave, we could, But I like both words because it's there. But do you know what confidence is? It says, if our heart condemns us not, then have we what? Confidence. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. We will not have confidence if our heart condemns us. But if we know our heart is clear before the Lord, we have confidence when we go to Him. You'll be able to go to Him and say, Lord, I want your strength, but I also want you to fight my battle for me. He will do that. I want to close with a verse of a song, 202. It's verse 3, but it fits this morning. It says, all my cares I cast upon Him. And I think in this particular song, the key word here is all. All my cares I cast upon Him, and He bears them all away. All my fears and griefs I tell Him. All my needs from day to day. All my strength I draw from Jesus. By His breath I live and move. Even His very mind He gives me, and His faith and life and love. There is a source. It is the true source of our strength. Let us avail ourselves of the true strength. Pray for me.